flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber and Chris Santiago, Big Santiago, have the latest for you. And the latest is we are live here on Radio Row here in New Orleans. And we're here to bring you the latest hits, the big stories going right now. And let's start here where we are in the Super Bowl. And Andy Reid, the head coach of the Chiefs, and this is something that I'm sure many people are wondering around, especially cities around the country that desperately want this Chiefs thing to end. And that is, he spoke about his future, and Andy Reid has already said, Clint, that he'll return as the Chiefs coach next year. Not anything past next year, but it seems like each year here of late, it's been a, will he come back? Will he retire? Will this be the end? He's already announced that he will come back. And to me, that may be the real key to this thing, Clint, is there are many people, and obviously the city of Houston is right there with many others, that desperately want to see this Kansas City dynasty, this thing come to an end. And I think, Clint, the way that it could, and you can really see the shift, and I think the big challenge, the next big challenge to me is whenever Andy Reid does hang it up, right? Like, this isn't a situation where Andy Reid, you know, Belichick and Tom kept going together for 20-whatever years. I don't think this is a situation where Andy and Pat are going to go for 20 years, just the age and where they are. That could be the next big thing that the Chiefs had to deal with is whenever Andy Reid moves on, because that's been such an advantage they have most times out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a challenge whenever Andy moves on. Hell yeah, it's going to be a change. You're talking about trying to replace an absolute legend. So yeah, that's going to be a hellacious challenge.
To me, that's where this thing potentially can get knocked off. Where teams like,
so you think it's going to require Andy Reid to get to retire for this team?
I'm talking about if you're thinking, all right, the time where you're like, all right, hey, they're vulnerable, they're really vulnerable, where you think like this thing can stop and they're not just winning. They've been to 7 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the end of when Andy leaves. That then is a challenge where it's like, all right, maybe this thing won't just sustain and just be rolling through. I think that's the.
I mean, look, I think their sustainability, if you will, even at the crazy level that they've been able to win, I think it's fair to say that it's solely dependent on two people's being. If Pat gets hurt, I think they're going to be in trouble, obviously,
yeah.
At any point in time. And if Andy retires, then they're going to be in trouble. There's going to be hell trying to keep this thing rolling, especially with the expectations, what they are right now. I mean, think about what you just said. They've been to 7 straight AFC championships. I mean, that's wow. I mean, the expectations that come along with that, you hear it all the time in football, of like, the more you win, the more people expect you to win, and at some point you tap out. You just can't meet or exceed expectations any longer, and you got to move on. And so I would imagine at some point the way that this thing with the Chiefs gets derailed is nothing short of Andy and Pat, one or the other, not being themselves and not being around.
Yeah, and because when you look at it from a Texans perspective, they are going to D'Amico and CJ, if this thing goes the way you want it, they are going to outlast them, right? They'll roll past them, and so that's just something you gotta look at is could this thing roll down? That's the opening, but it will at least be one more year amongst those things. So the Chiefs are still going to be intact. By the way, I also think probably Travis Kelce stays as long as Andy is. Because yeah. Travis talked about that yesterday. So that is the latest there with the Chiefs. It looks like they will continue to have those main parts with them coming up next year.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, shout out to Reggie as this is rolling through here. Ian Rappaport reports the Texans have promoted Cole Popovich to the offensive line coach and run game coordinator. Sources say he'll work closely with the new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. Previously, Popovich was the assistant O-line coach, but Houston always held him in high regard. Well, you ain't kidding, are you? This is interesting. So I thought he got fired.
He did.
And then he got rehired.
They announced that he got fired.
He got let go. So they brought back the assistant. So where we are right now, the scapegoats are old Chris and old Chris Strausser, and then obviously Bobby Slowick. Those are the ones that are rolling. Will there be any more changes? How do you feel about this one, Houston?
So, well, no, look.
How do you feel about this one? The assistant offensive line coach
This is the first hire, right?
Yep.
So let me get this right. So everybody understands this. Nick Caley gets the offensive coordinator job, and of all the O-line coaches in America, he goes and gets the guy that was the assistant O-line coach.
Got it yesterday.
I mean, I don't cover all offensive lines, but I would say this was a very, very
bottom third.
Let's think about it from it. Not only a bottom third, but I mean, there's a handful of teams that had spent the money, had the investment up front, had the talent up front, and underperformed severely. Right? The Texans are one of those teams, and this guy was in the meeting room with them. And so you want me to think that Caley came in and said, "All right, boys, this is my shot to continue to ascend at the NFL level," and I'm going to hire Cole Popovich, the assistant from last year that sat in the same room with the O-line coach and orchestrated an unbelievably disappointing stretch of football from an offensive line.
Just needed 24 hours to find that OC, that offensive line coach. And it's going to be the same person that was coaching them last year.
Well, I wonder how many people, because this is the same. Like, there's a lot of folks out there. Who was the real good O-line coach that was at Denver and played with the Oilers?
Oh, Mike Munchak.
Munchak. I always want to say Bruce, but yeah, Mike Munchak. Like, there's a lot of people that are, we're under the impression like that would be a great hire. Bring that guy in. But you got Cole.
Yep.
That's interesting.
It's getting just info that Cole was never officially let go. That was just reports that wasn't actually the case. He has always, I guess, been there. And There was reports that the offensive line coach and the assistant were let go. But he gets promoted up.
Another one of those wait and see. May be great. I tell you what, you trust the process, y'all. Just trust the process.
Come on, man. I know. Here's someone just texted in and just said, here we go. You guys always talking ish about every move the Texans make. Nah, man. I'm talking ish. I'm just saying that's again. I will say this, and we're going to talk about this because this is big. Because the number one thing we said they got to fix, the number one thing that they've got to fix from when Bobby Slowick got let go was that offensive line got to get better. So you fired the offensive line coach and brought in his assistant. Yeah, this would made more sense if you brought in Gerard. If you kept Gerard, all right. Now there's all right. Hell, at least Gerard. Yeah. As you just so eloquently put, you mean Nick Caley. Sometimes you get one of these opportunities. You mean Nick Caley said, yeah. Has he met him?
Oh, I don't know.
Have they met each other? They have a relationship? Matt Pryor in their New England days? Yep, worked with him in New England. Yep. All right, I got you, Nick. And I don't mean Caley. The other one. I'm sorry. This looks like Nick Caserio's directing this the whole way. And that's fine. It may work. But I'm just simply saying, when Bobby Slowick was fired, in your mind, did you say, all right, man, this is what we're going to do? We got C.J. Stroud. We got Nico Collins. We got all this. We gotta have the biggest, like the best group where people are saying, oh, that's the spot I want to go to. And they came up with Nick Caley, the tight end coach and passing game coordinator. Yes, some people wanted him, but they came up with Nick. And then within 24 hours, the number one thing that they needed to fill, the number one issue with this team that held them back was the offensive line. And they brought back the assistant to the same coach that was there last year. That in your mind, you were like, this is what we're going to do. Like, this is where we're going to keep the same. The assistant. Like, in your mind, that was like, hope it works.
Yeah.
Right? Not going to interview some of the top candidates. And I don't care what you say about Clint Kubiak and Chip Kelly. They were the two of the top candidates in this thing. You didn't interview them. And you brought back the assistant to your bad offensive line coach. Which, again, Chris, as I've said, bad in the sense of, hell, I don't know how bad you are. We keep running offensive line coaches out of here. And if you ask George Warhop, when he went to Baltimore, he looked like a different guy, I guess, with that offensive line. This is just – that is wild to me. This is a huge deal to me. Because it's not just the offensive line coach, which normally – this signifies so much of what's going on, who's running the show, and that this team set and evaluated and said the best course of action for us is – y'all, not even sit around and look a little bit. The best course of action is – let me bring the assistant O-line coach from last year. Wow.
Yes. It is as underwhelming as you could possibly make it from the OC perspective as well as the O-line perspective. Looking forward to seeing the rest of the staff.
Like you're looking at it. I think you might be able to pull it up right now and look at the rest of the staff. And just look at the Texas staff. All right. That is wow. That is the latest.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets, they lose last night 124-118. Hopefully no one starts singing behind us here in a bit. But they've got a back-to-back. If that guy starts singing, I swear to God, I will take this thing off. I will take this. And this is the second time we've tried to do a Rockets. We've tried to do a Rockets segment. Damn it, and y'all keep coming in. I'm sorry. The Rockets last night. The Houston Rockets last night. Lost a tough one to the Knicks. I want to make sure y'all here because y'all keep interrupting our damn Rockets segments. The last time that we... No, but listen, the Rockets, they lose a tough one last night. And the one thing that comes to mind is something we talked about last week to me is end of games. And not just the final shot. End of games. We watched it again yesterday. I'm sorry for the yelling, Houston. I can't take it. All right, it's like when we do the Rockets, they're like, no. All right, it's like something you're not doing it. But we watched this in Memphis, and that game at the end of it, and not just the final possession, but multiple possessions to end the last 3 minutes, the ball was in Bane and in Jaren Jackson's hands, and they got their spots and they did their thing. Yesterday, it was Jalen Brunson, and he hits a big three, makes plays down the stretch, and the Rockets just couldn't keep up. Amen Thompson tried. He had a turnover late. They just struggled with trying to try to figure out how they were going to close things out. And to me, that is still, and we'll see what happens. The deadline is Thursday. That is still the issue that seems to be running through this team. At the end of games, who is that going to be? And maybe it is Şengün. Maybe it is Şengün. No, damn that, Ike. Maybe it is Şengün. But I'm not sure. That's the thing that keeps coming up that we keep seeing.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're missing Şengün. To your point, an option at the end of the game, along with Jalen Green and even Amen Thompson, but you're missing one of those three guys that you would like to have the ball in their hand, and then you're also missing the one guy that can come in, and even if it's within the last 4 minutes of the game, the guy that can come in and steady the waters. Okay, everybody, pump their brakes. Let's get a plan. Take a breath. Take a deep breath and let's figure this thing out, gather our thoughts kind of deal. You're missing those two guys. And so it's going to be a different path to victory when you're missing them two guys anyway, right? I mean, it is interesting, though, Ron, to your point of, like, not to make too much of three losses in the middle of the season, because this season has been great. And their reputation around the league is growing of a team that you may beat them, but you're going to know you was in a fight no matter who's on the floor. And that's all fine and dandy, but to your point, the one thing that keeps kind of rearing its head is that, hey man, at the end of games, it sure seemed like the New York Knicks knew exactly who they were going to get the ball to and exactly who they were going to ride the rest of the way.
And it feels like the Rockets are taking turns, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, one possession we'll try Green, one possession we'll try Thompson.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk to Brandon Scott tomorrow on our Rockets report, and you can catch him twice a week. With Adam Spolane, H-Town Hoops podcast. But that is to me, is that something that they need to try to find in the, you know, before the deadline Thursday? Or is this, let's see who grows into it? Because that is hard to just come away from and to look at. Those are two playoff teams, and as many of you who watch the NBA know, the fourth quarter, yes, they tighten up. You talked about it. We were talking about it in the room earlier.
There was a stat floating around the social media, and it was a legit stat where it just showed the fall off in the fourth quarter, and that how the Rockets were great in quarters one through three from a scoring perspective, and then the fourth quarter it just falls a little bit. They go from, you know, top three, top five in the league to you know, pretty, you know, significantly lower, and it was just. Your point in response to that stat was, well, that's when teams kind of tighten down and actually start playing defense, number one. And number two, it's when your superstars need to rise and be the reason you win, and you really can't figure out who that is consistently. You don't have one guy to be a ball-dominant guy that can go get those points. And at least you don't know who he is yet. And so I thought it was a great point off of that one stat was pretty telling.
Yeah, we'll see if they go out and do that, or if it. I did like Amen Thompson taking the ball and saying I'm going. He just you know just got stripped in the lane there late. So a lot going on there. I need to use the restroom. The last thing I need to be doing is yelling. That might take me out for a day right then and there. But coming up, we've got to jump back on this, Clinton. I want to kind of get the thoughts of you and the people texting. If you just missed it. The Texans have made a move. They are bringing in, which was the hell. Clint said this yesterday. It may be as important as the OC hire is who is the offensive line coach hire going to be. We know who it is, and he was the assistant O-line coach last year for the Texans. We'll discuss and get more on that and get your thoughts as well. That's coming up next.
All right, Rodeo fans, y'all check it out now on Thursday, February the 6th. That's this Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. at Twin Peaks. I'm talking about Kirby 59 location, the Kirby and 59 location. I want everybody out there to join Nick Russo from our sister station, The Bull 100.3 FM, The Bull, baby, as he will be live and in person giving away wristbands to the world-famous Bull Honky Tonk at the Rodeo Cook-Off. There's only one way to get into this famous tent, folks. I will be there, but I ain't getting you in. Nick's got to get you in, baby. You got to win these coveted wristbands. Make your way out to Twin Peaks Kirby. 59 and Kirby, Twin Peaks Kirby, this Thursday night, February the 6th, from 8 to 10, for your chance to join the best party.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we return here, Radio Row, but this news here just comes out, and I am curious how people are thinking right now. I'm curious how you are feeling about this situation where the Texans are. The Texans yesterday hire their new OC, Nick Caley. He was his NFL experience started with the Patriots, was there at the same time with obviously Tom Brady, obviously Bill Belichick, and then obviously Nick Caserio was there from 2015 to 2022, and then he moved on and became the tight ends coach. And then last year with the Rams, the tight ends coach, and then it was added he would be the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. And now he has been brought in to be the offensive coordinator here. And I know you said this as we were leading into this, Clint. The offensive coordinator job may be just as important as whoever that line coach is going to be. Those two things may go into one because, obviously, as you said, to fix things, the OC has to get C.J. Stroud going better. But to get C.J. Stroud going better, the protection in the O-line has to improve.
The reality of it is it's all dependent upon the O-line, right? I mean, you C.J. Stroud can go work as hard as he could possibly work. And the reality of it is if he is the most pressured quarterback in the league, the Texans aren't going to be very good. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're not going to be very good, relatively speaking. They're going to be a playoff team. They're too talented not to be a playoff team. They're too talented not to win this division. They're going to do this no matter who's coaching or it doesn't matter. They're going to make that happen. But when you start bumping up against Baltimore and Buffalo and the Patriots and whoever the up and coming teams are, right? You start bumping them up against teams that are in the playoffs in any given year or consistently. Like, they're going to expose your offensive line. You're not going to be able to run the football effectively. You're not going to be able to protect your quarterback. And if you can't do those things, you're going to get exploited. They're going to pick on you, and it's going to be the reason that you lose games. And so, look, whether you're talking about Nick Caley doing his job or C.J. Stroud doing his job, their jobs are made exponentially more difficult than they already are when if you've got an offensive line that can't protect, can't execute basic mechanics and techniques, can't communicate. I mean, think about all the problems that you had on the offensive line this year. Like, those problems have to be solved. They literally have to be solved for C.J. Stroud to be better and for Nick Caley to do his job. That's the reality of that situation. And if you think bringing the assistant offensive line coach on is the answer to that, then so be it. But there's conversations to be had about that. There's layers to all of these hires. Who's making the hires? Why are you settling on an assistant coach here? I think it makes for great conversation. Unfortunately, I'm just not. Again, it's underwhelming on all fronts.
Text line coming through. I'm not excited about this news, but I believe that D'Amico and Nick have earned our trust. They turned around a 2-14 team, and D'Amico willingly fired his buddy Slowick. We need to trust them until proven wrong. I mean, listen, that is fairly your option and an opinion, right? I can see why you trust that. I don't know that the entire fan base trusts this. I will just simply say again, never in a million years did I think when this process occurred that you would have two first-timers as the OC and offensive line coach. I would have never thought that. There would be rookies who have never had that role before.
But I push back on the trust the process stuff because what has D'Amico Ryans or Nick Caserio, what have they done as it pertains to offensive football? What have you heard or what have you seen as it pertains to offensive football that put you in a position where you say they've done a good job? Or I will trust the process. Like, what have they done?
That's year one under Slowick, I guess. I mean, that's the best that they've.
So you trust D'Amico and Nick on that, but you don't trust Bobby Slowick on that.
I just tried to give you the.
The reality of it is again, we're talking about an offensive unit that every position on the offense, with the exception of the running back position, backslid from the previous year. There were unexcusable errors week in, week out. So much so to the fact that Dan Orlovsky's on national TV talking about the details with this offense are the problem. Not the quarterback or not the protection or not the receiver. No, the details across the board are the problem. Right, you got receivers running all over the place. Right, apparently, Ben McDaniel's good. You trust that? Right, you got tight end. You got a tight end that can't bust himself out of a wet paper sack. You good with that? Right. I mean, you got an offensive line across the board that can't communicate and can't execute the basic blocking techniques and mechanics. Trust that? That's the O-line coach we chose. Okay, I mean, like
there are people here who believe he was in a situation potentially being kind of held back. In a situation where maybe Chris Strausser was the one or Bobby Slowick was the one.
Very possible.
Things.
Possible.
That's what the hope is. Because really,
and if somebody in that building comes out and tells me that, cool. I mean, then we'll agree. But I mean, you can't be on the outside looking in and go, "Boy, I just trust the process." When it's blatantly obvious, you can see. You just push all that stuff to the side. I guess that's tough. That's a tough pill for me to swallow.
Yeah. Again, as I said, I am. I never would have thought first timers would be.
Well, yeah, I mean, just think about it.
Somebody would be a vet. Somebody would do something.
You're back-to-back 10-game winner.
Yep.
You're back-to-back division round of the playoffs. And you've got – I mean, there is literally – the next step is AFC Championship and Super Bowl. And these are the moves that are going to get you there.
We'll see.
Right? If we're just discussing the moves in a vacuum, it's hard to see that those are the moves that you think are going to get you there.
Yep.
Now, a lot of folks, I know I didn't hit on social media, but a lot of folks, you sit back and say, well, who's available? Well, that's a problem, too. You know, that's a big problem, too. You got yourself in a pickle with Bobby Slowick not working out, and now the response is, well, none of those guys are available. None of those other guys want to interview. These are the only options available. Well, that's a pickle that you got yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting thing. I don't know. Maybe this is the thing. Maybe he did pick him. This does make me wonder, or give the lingering thought of, you know, how much impact or influence Nick Caley is having on selecting the staff and who he's going to be working with. We've already heard reported from Aaron Wilson that Gerard's going to be back as the quarterback coach. That was reported earlier today that he would be back as a quarterback's coach, and now. Like this, it's a lot of the same.
Yeah.
The only thing at this moment, we'll see how this thing goes.
If you're going to hire Nick Caley, you should keep it the same. With the exception of the offense. Well, with the exception, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're like keeping the like you've made like you're the whole stance that has been made or statement that's been made when you hire Nick Caley is. We're doing everything we can in-house to keep the continuity, chemistry, and verbiage the same so that we can grow this thing instead of start over, right? The best way to do that is to bring in familiar faces. The best way to do that is the guys that were already in the building, keep them in place.
Yeah. All right, as we continue, Texans make a big move here in – bringing in their new offensive line coach, who was the assistant offensive line coach last year, as we were continuing to finish that up. Also, a player that is apparently going to be available in a position of need for your Houston Texans. We'll talk about that player and if that should be something that Nick Caserio, Nick Caley, and company should look at to add to this offense. Also, one more day. As T-Mill's best bets are being handled by Chris Santiago, we see if he can win you some more money. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Live here on The Drive Radio Row. And as we said, coming up here in a bit, we will get to T-Mill's best bets by way of Chris Santiago. And I believe Tyler will be back tomorrow. Tyler is back from his Disney trip, and why not? You know, and I'm sure – what kind of sound do you think we're going to hear from Tyler Milner? Is it going to be the gravelly – Is it going to be the I've had
the nasally?
The nasally one?
Oh, no, he'll be recovered.
You think he'll be recovered? Yeah, he's got a little time. We'll hear from him, and Tyler will be back. But one last time, his best bets coming up. As we will get to that in a bit. Remember, coming up behind us, Area 45, the fellas tonight, they will react to this offensive line coach situation where the Texans have brought in their assistant O-line coach from last season. He will take over and be promoted to be the new offensive line coach from last year. Cole Popovich has a connection with Nick Caley and Nick Caserio in their time in New England. He is going to be the new guy as the O-line coach to pretty big decisions there. All right, Clint, before we roll to best bets, yesterday it came across that a former Super Bowl MVP would be potentially on the trade block. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver, L.A. Rams. He came out and said it on social yesterday. He did not agree with the situation, but he's been informed that the Rams are going to put him on the trade block. And we just throw this out because, Clint, the Texans are going to be, I believe, on the hunt to add a receiver. Now, I don't know how they're looking. They went in the offseason in a trade last year to get Diggs there, and they paid him good money. There could be, hey, a trade like this, free agency to try to grab somebody, could be the draft. They are going to need to add another receiver with one, not knowing if Diggs is going to be the one they bring back. Obviously, the Tank Dell injury could last for a long stretch. What about the thought of Cooper Kupp? Obviously, Nick Caley has a relationship with him. He was the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator, so he worked with him. 31 years old. What would that option look like to you? What do you think about that idea of Cooper Kupp being another receiver added to this team?
Yeah, look, I like the thought of Cooper Kupp being added to the team. Now, there's a couple of things that you just have to – we have to discuss up front, right? I mean, the injuries have been a problem. He's missed 18 games since the – I mean, just unbelievable year – in 2021, where they won the Super Bowl and he was the Super Bowl MVP. They beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl that year. He won the Triple Crown that year, where he had the most receiving yards in the NFL, had the most receiving touchdowns in the NFL, and had the most was it receptions? Is it yards, receptions,
he had touchdowns? Triple Crown. He had it all.
Yeah, that's what I said. But what's the third one? The catches?
Catches, yards, and touchdowns.
There you go. He had all three of them, led the league in all three. And since that year in 2021, he's missed 18 ball games. So injuries have been an issue. I only say that to say that just for me, it's he's no longer a number one. I don't believe he's going to be pursued as a number one around the league as the guy that had 1,900 yards receiving in 2021. I think he's more a number two. The injuries are a problem, and number two, the contract is a problem. He's got some big money this year and some big money next year. Left on this contract, and so they're trying to trade him, and the money's going to be an issue. The injury is going to be an issue. Now you look at what the Texans would be looking for. I would think that Cooper Kupp would be on the top of the range of what they're looking for. They're looking for a number two receiver, and if he stays healthy, he's going to be productive. He's been productive. He was productive this year, 60-some-odd catches, 700-some-odd yards, and six touchdowns. You get in the red zone, he can separate and make himself available to the quarterback. And so, yeah, look, I think Cooper Kupp would complement Nico Collins really, really well. Obviously, Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, came from the L.A. Rams, and so there's a relationship there. He should have the inside scoop on what exactly Cooper Kupp is and what he's got left. And so, yeah, I would think if there's tread left on those tires, and Nick Caley, nobody knows more than Nick Caley, I would think that the Texans would definitely be in, given that the injuries are, at least at this point, he's healthy, and the contracts are renegotiable or which I did see a report a little earlier, I don't know to what extent the Rams are willing to pick up a good chunk of the contract. I didn't see any numbers of what they would agree to pick up, but they are willing to eat some of the Cooper Kupp contract that is remaining, again, which is 2 years for big money.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to pick up some of that. Yeah, they're going to have to – and we've seen that with trades. Well, they'll have to pick up some things as well. But yeah, to me, it's all in the hey, what are you expecting? What are you expecting from him? And that to me is what kind of sets that up. He is. You don't need a one, Clint. You got one,
right? That's why Cooper Kupp's an option.
You know, and I think they would really kind of fit each other really, really well. And he does so many things in the middle of the field that can open things up. He's a great route runner. And, yes, he's a little older, 31. I'm not saying he's the perfect fit. I'm not saying that he's the right one. But you can see his skill set and see, you know, I can see how that matches with him. And you wonder what the deal is. I see somebody on the text line, on YouTube and Twitch, with the thought of we don't need – all this old wide receiver with injuries that can't stay healthy. I get that. If that is a very, very fair complaint and issue to have with that thought. But if he's got a relationship with Nick Caley, that is somebody most definitely to me. If you're like, all right, I'm going to go with him. I got Diggs. I have maybe the draft. You can see that being an option that makes sense.
Yeah, no, to me. I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, if again you're looking for a two or three, there's not going to be the perfect receiver out there for the right amount of money. That's going to be a two or three. That's just going to be floating out there. That's going to make you happy. I mean, there's going to be warts on whoever you get. And if you can get Cooper Kupp at a discount, because here's the deal: when he's healthy. Which I know, I get it. That's a big obstacle to get over.
That's a fair one, yeah.
But when he's healthy, he's productive. 60 plus catches this year on 100 targets, 700 plus yards, again, 6 touchdowns. If he stays healthy for the entire season, you're looking at 1,000 plus yards. You're looking at 10 touchdowns. You're looking at 100 catches. By the way, Nico Collins this year, 12 games. I think, what do you have, 7-8 touchdowns? I mean, it wasn't.
7 touchdowns, yep.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, so, and I'm not saying Cooper Kupp is Nico Collins. I'm just simply saying, you know, you can't base everything, whether you want a guy or not, but just based solely off the fact that he's been injured a bit. It's a risk you got to take, and I'm here to take the risk with Cooper Kupp. I think it would be a great compliment to CJ Stroud. To Nico Collins. I think he'd be big time for CJ Stroud, just that security blanket and a different style of receiver than what he's had. So, yeah, man, I would love for that to be. I could warm up to Nick Caley probably a little bit there, Ron.
Could you?
If Nick Caley all of a sudden parlays this thing into Nick Caley and Cooper Kupp and he know he's the one that's got the inside track on that. I could probably warm up to Nick a little bit here.
Here is Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network, kind of giving a little bit more context to the cost price of the price of this and what it would potentially do or what would it potentially have to happen for a team to make the trade financially for Cooper Kupp.
I would add, my understanding is the Rams are at least willing to eat some of the money, potentially paying down the $7.5 million signing bonus, which a lot of that is fully guaranteed for Kupp, maybe easing the burden on an acquiring team, maybe making a trade a little easier.
All right, yeah, that makes it easier. And to me, if they want to get this done, they have the ability to get this done. It's not going to absolutely kill them. As we said, the Rams will have to kick in on that. So it's at least, to me, an option. And as you said, you would be bringing somebody in that knows the offense that you would think, or knows Nick Caley at least.
Well, Nick Caley
and Nick knows them.
Yeah, Nick knows them really well. He would know Nick really well. That chemistry would be there. I mean, just naturally, it's beautiful. And then you look at C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud and Cooper Kupp would, in a matter of days, would have tremendous chemistry. And look at this from a Cooper Kupp perspective. I mean, is there a better place to land for him, a friendlier place to land? Even though the Cooper Kupp, the conversation, the article I read had the Baltimore Ravens, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Broncos. I mean, there were several teams out there, and some of them are probably, you know, comparable to Houston. But when you look at Houston, you got C.J. Stroud, The expectations are limited because you got Nico Collins and Nick Caley's there, and Nick Caley's the one that I mean, if you're going to trust anybody, assuming they got a good relationship, by the way. Given what we're hearing coming out of the building in Houston, I don't know what a good relationship looks like, to be honest with you. But the thought that he has a good relationship and thinks highly of Cooper Kupp and vice versa, that could be a huge plus here. Yeah, I'm all about Cooper Kupp coming in and being a two.
All right, as we continue, Area 45 behind us, 6 to 10. Stay tuned for the guys. Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton got you rolling through. All right, Chris, your last day in terms of T-Mill's best bets. What you got? Because yesterday I think you had a losing record again. You got to stay off of Banchero.
Yeah,
I mean, this is two times in a row that he has smoked you on this. You got to stay away. What you got?
So today I got Jalen Green over 23.5 points. It's against the Brooklyn Nets.
He had 21 on 22 shots yesterday. So we'll see. He could get hot. This could be one. I expect the Rockets to beat the brakes off the Nets. So I could see that one. That ain't bad.
I'm rolling with Donovan Mitchell here over 29.5 points and rebounds. He's playing the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they're gonna need him.
Points and rebounds.
Points and rebounds. Yeah, that's not a bad combo. Yeah. He will definitely get the opportunity. He's not bad.
And then I'm rolling with Norman Powell, same as last week. I mean, he came through. I'm gonna go ahead and.
Hey man, Norm coming through, baby. Hey, he should have borderline been an all-star.
Hey, I tell you what, he respects coin, man. He respects that money. So I'm rolling with him. Over 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
I need them to lose, but go ahead.
And then the
Heat.
Yep, I'm taking Heat money line versus the Bulls.
All right. Yeah, the Heat been playing better since this Jimmy thing has kind of run its course. I don't want it to happen. I like the Donovan Mitchell one. I don't want it to happen. The Norman Powell one, 27.5 with the hook. That's not bad either. So, yeah, you got some. Let's see if you can get out of here with a winning record. At least push. I see you got soft and only did four. Let's see if you can get out of here with a winning record. Come on, Chris, you're better than that. You should have come out here with five or six on this thing. But no, man, we've enjoyed you. You've been great all week and into last week as well. Tyler Milner will be back. Shout out to everybody who helped put this together. Craig Gass, who was fantastic. I'll tell you, that interview was great. 320, go back and check that out. His Tracy Morgan impression is something like I've never heard before. And Nate Boyer, who was on also earlier, 240, go check him out. Thank you for stepping in as well. Clint, great job. Chris, great job. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Elk Cockfight in Austin. So if you're in Austin, go to Elk Cockfight.
I'm sorry, it's called
Elk Cockfight. Yeah. It's not a gay bar. However, a lot of people think it is.
Elk
and it's all good. We love everybody, man. We don't care.
Elk Cockfight, not a gay bar. Gotcha.
To find out, you got to go. It's open to interpretation right now, but
exactly.
you got to go.
And yeah,
I
mean,
never know about Austin. I married a Longhorn, so.
Oh, there you go. Good man.
Hopefully she's not been there, Nate. I'm just being honest with you. On the outside.
Well, we got a big neon sign that says, World's greatest cock when you walk in there.
Oh, like, well, I mean.